Today I'm simply going to talk about stand reduction and type 2 driving cultivars. I know my title in the program says defoliation, but I'll just do for time constraints. We kept that out of this presentation. Again, I'm from NDSU, and NDSU has a long-lasting relationship with the National Crop Insurance Service as far as conducting hail research. And stand reduction is a component of that, using stand reduction to evaluate and assess hail damage in particular dry beans. So in case you're not familiar with dry beans, I'll illustrate to you the three basic types that are grown here in the United States. North Dakota is the number one dry bean producing state in the United States. And these are array of the type of types that we do have there. Determinant, I'll just explain some of these types of growth habits. Determinant would be when the flower seems to have essentially developed and stem elongation will cease. Indeterminant will be when flowering and pod filling will occur either at the same time or it will alternate depending on the temperature and moisture. Type 1, to go through these briefly, type 1 would be maybe something more associated with navy bean, more of an erect type bush. The type 3s would be more prostrate, more viney to the ground, something maybe we associate with pinto beans. And of course the type 2s, which is the base or the focus for our presentation today. Some of these in variety description booklets might refer to them as upright short viney or upright vine. And in this study, we chose a variety that associated with a type 2A and the type 2B. The type 2A that we chose was a great northern bean, and the type 2B that we chose was a pinto bean. To give you a visual representation of what exactly these different plant architectures look like, again, the type 1 with the determinant type of growth, more of an erect bush type. Type 3, as you can see there, it's a little more viney type of growth. And the type 2, those pods, as you can see, are more centrally located on the plant. And there's a couple advantages to these type 2s as far as possible benefits to the producer. The type 2 could be possibly used for straight harvest or a direct harvest type method, as opposed to what they're doing now, the conventional way where they're, it's a two-step process that they're using now. So this could possibly eliminate that and become more economically profitable for them. And as well as white mold. White mold is a big problem in dry beans, and being able to get more airflow through the canopy could possibly reduce that incidence level. So type 2s. So the basic reasons for this research is because there really hasn't been extensive research done on type 2 dry beans cultivars associated with hail research. And again, stand reduction is associated with that, determining and assessing hail damage within the crop insurance industry. So again, it's very limited. So the main objective of our study is to simply look at yield response due to these different type of stand reduction treatments that we're applying at the various growth stages. And here's just kind of an example. I don't want you to get too caught up in the numbers. Type 1, again, is that bush type. Type 3, the viney. These charts are already made and used today within the industry that the National Crop Insurance Service has developed. We're essentially looking to see, as a result of this study, maybe it will correlate or be similar, have similar responses to the type 1 or the type 3. So that's really what we're trying to assess here, is whether we need to make a new chart or not. And that's what this information will be used for. So the study was conducted in RCBD with two replicates at three of these various locations in North Dakota. These are selected for the major dry bean growing regions in North Dakota at Carrington, Prosper, and Johnstown. So split plot arrangement, with the main plot being the cultivar. Again, the two types of cultivars that we selected were the Matterhorn, which is a great northern bean that associated more to the type 2A end of the spectrum, and the GTS 900, which is a common bean grown that is more associated with the type 2B end of the spectrum. The subplots were factorial arrangement of growth stage and treatment level. Those growth stages were V5, R1, and R3. V5 is when there's five nodes in a plant and four trifoliolates are exposed. At R1, flowering is occurring on 50% of those plants. And R3 is when the pods are 1 inch long. So just to give you an idea of what type of stages these treatments were applied at. And again, these stand reduction levels occurred. Obviously, we have a control of 25, 50, 75, and 90%. And I'll show you just on the next slide exactly what those treatments look like. The 25%, again, the study was conducted with three row plots, about 25 feet long. So about planets, about 70,000 plants per acre. The normal spacing between a ideal stand is about 3.2 inches. So basically we have our plots and we essentially are taking out, for the 25% level, we'll take out one out of every four plants to get the 25%. The 50%, every other plant will manually simulate pulling out these plants. And 75%, three out of the four will take out, and 90%, you know, 9 out of 10. So there's, as you look at these various degrees of stand reduction, we notice there's, you know, at these increased stand reduction levels, there's a lot more water availability, nutrient availability, which, as we've shown the data, that it allows that plant to compensate. And we'll show the next slide how the plant does compensate due to those increased stand reduction levels. So this is data taken from 2006, the yield, and the various stages that we looked at. And down here, I just thought I'd throw in these days to give you an idea how many days apart these different treatments are applied at. These are just an average of the locations as far as the dates go. So just to give you an idea. As you look at the different stages, we notice that there's a different ranking in each of those. And at the V5 stage, the 50, 75, and 90% levels were significant. At the R1, 25 to 90% levels were significant, as well as the R3. And if we just take a look at growth stage in advance, for example, V5 90%, compare that to R3 90%, we notice at the R3 90% level we see a decrease in yield, which is really associated with, at the R3 stage, again, the plants have 1-inch pod length, and our growing season in North Dakota is not extremely long. So really, as we advance through these stages, the plant has less time to compensate for yield. And that's really what this chart is showing. And again, this is from 2006. Another component to this study, we're looking at yield components and trying to really assess what's going on in the plant at these various stages of stand reduction. So yield component, plants per hectare, so how we adjust those plants within an area will really influence the number of pods per plant that we'll have, seeds per pod, seed weight. Now what we do is we basically go into the plot and consecutively select 8 different plants, put them in a bag and label them and take them back to the lab and assess these other yield components. But last year, the only one that was significant was the number of pods per plant. So this next chart, again showing the different levels of stand reduction and the various growth stages, we notice again a different type of ranking. As we increase the level of stand reduction, we see an increase in the number of pods. And again, as we advance through those stages, we see a decrease in the number of pods at the higher stand reduction levels. So just again, as we advance the stages, the plant has less time to compensate, therefore not putting on as many number of pods per plant. So essentially, in summary, yield loss increased as the level of stand reduction increased in the growth stage advance. So the plant has less time to compensate. Again, at the number of pods per plant chart that we just showed, as we're advancing those stages, we see a reduction the number of pods per plant as well. And cultivars perform similar. Sometimes when I look at the SAS uppers, I see that something's not significant. That kind of scares me a little bit. But that's good for these cultivars that they perform the same. That means that these charts that the National Crop Insurance Service is looking at, that means that we don't have to make one for each individual cultivar. We can assume that the type 2s perform the same. And again, just study will be conducted 2 more years to really assess the type 2 driving response to these various levels of stand reduction. So I'd just like to thank, obviously, NCIS and Mark Zarnstorff and the North Harvest Bean Growers providing funding, and of course NDSU for providing encouragement and a helpful criticism at times. And I'd open up to any type of questions that you might have for me at this point.
simulation, and simulation of hail damage. I mean, isn't hail damage more typically not kinds of dead or missing or not?
Right. Right, and I had the exact same question myself when I first started. What is stand redux and how are we using that? But in order to assess the hail damage, you will see plumbing due to the intensity of the hailstorm or wind damage. The plants will literally just break over and snap off, especially at these higher levels, obviously, of stand reduction. They get bigger and essentially they just lodge quite a bit. But stand reduction is essentially just used to just really calculate, and with the stand reduction, I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly here, but I'll do my best. Within the formula that they use to assess hail damage, they'll first calculate the stand, and then of course the defoliation, which I didn't show, assessing that visually, and assessing that to the type of level of insurance coverage that the producer had purchased. Well, they're used in combination. Yeah, and I think that would have been helpful to show here both of those. But did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you happen to observe any differences in sclerotinia white mold and within stands?
This data was taken from 2006. In 2006, we did not see much pressure from white mold, really whatsoever. However, this year, which I didn't have data showing that, there was some white mold pressure at some of our locations, but bacteria blight was actually more of an issue, especially in the Great Northern Bean, which seems to be a lot more sensitive to that type. But we didn't really, within the study, we didn't really assess white mold incidence levels. Is that it? Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.